Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host, and we're the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. You're listening to the Doug and Dave Intel Report. It's a subset of the Common Sense Show, and Doug Thornton and I come together several times a week now. This is becoming a regular feature. It's our most demanded show that we have. We're still featuring other guests, but it seems like the combination of our backgrounds is serving some of these subjects well to get good full analysis here. We're not bragging, we're just repeating what we're being told. And we're getting interest in a lot of different areas. And our hope is that we can help you achieve a soft landing for what they're planning for us, because what was coming is no longer coming, it's already here. And along those lines, Doug and I tonight are going to be talking about some revelations that I had today from my best military source and a German economist who has to remain unnamed. And you say, well, Dave, can we trust these sources? Yeah, ordinarily I would say don't rely on totally anonymous sources. All the mainstream media uses it every day. But I would say this, there's collaborating data all the way through the events of today to point to the fact that what we're going to tell you is real. Before we join Doug, though, we got to take care of some business. You don't have long to get your food system outside the system. Fertilizer, getting crops to market, the 100 plus food processing plants that have been burned down since Biden took over. Yeah, what a coincidence that is, right? It says that you have limited time. MPS still has sales. They haven't sold out to the government like a lot of our competition, and they haven't raised prices. And let me tell you, they're just really a good organization with a quality product. 2,000 calories per day, 25-year shelf life. Go to preparewithdave.com while you still can, because we have real limited time to get prep. The water purifier that we have, the Alexa Pure Pro water filter, that in the research says it's number one. The problem is we're on our last legs for selling it. I'm the lone remaining vendor in the United States other than the company. And that's because they're going to run out. And when they run out, they have no immediate way to resupply. So what's done is done. If you go to waterwithdave.com, you're going to look and see how good this is. They, too, have not raised prices. They, too, have sales. And when the grid goes down, you're going to be scavenging water. I recommend you get one for each member of your family to handle the volume of water that will be needed to be purified. Also, to Mike Lindell, people, they reached out to us, said, would you like to become our vendor? And I said, yeah, absolutely. Well, we can give your audience half off everything. So whether it's the great sheets or the pillow casings, we have it all in our house. They even have doggy beds, which are incredible. And yeah, my wife splurged and we got the doggy beds. It's a whole resource of sleeping materials, half off. Go to mypillow.com/Hodges, coupon code Hodges, for the either 2-for-1 or 50% off. That's mypillow.com/Hodges, coupon code Hodges. And then finally, if you're one of the 60% of Americans that have a nest egg to protect, you need to call Noble Gold. Noble Gold can help you. Like they help me, I feel I'm going to have a softer landing than most. Find out how they can help you in a non-pressured environment by calling them at 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. Well, we have on the line with us the other half, probably the better half, of the Doug and Dave Intel Report. Doug Thornton, former Marine, former contractor, and former DHS. And me, I'm kind of along for the ride, and I bring a little psychological analysis and some knowledge of history. So the combination of us, we get to analyze current events from a real perspective. Doug, I know we agreed before we came on the air that you wanted me to kind of lay things out, and then we'll have a discussion about it, about what I was told today.
Yeah, yeah, let's do it, because I think my reactions are probably better than yours. To be honest with you, before we even started, you know, we talked for about an hour on the phone, and you know, typically when you and I talk, we're always throwing our ideas back and forth with each other, and I couldn't do nothing but just be quiet and let you talk, and just shake my head while I'm sitting there, you know, cooking supper for everybody, which was onion soup, by the way. It turned out perfect. And, you know, here's the thing. we know that the whole world is going down the diabolical route, and we're going to talk about some pretty heavy stuff, but just want to say this, that the Lord is in charge, and if you are secured within Him, you are secured in the next life.
I agree with that.
You know, this is the thing, man. You know, people are worried, Dave. People are scared. You know, they don't know what's going to happen day by day. And like me and you have already figured out that every 12 hours something changes. Every 12 hours there's something new. And here we go again, another 12 hours, right? So, Dave, what do you have for us today?
Well, I just want to tell you something on late breaking news. The mainstream media is attacking Joe Manchin because he wouldn't approve the budget-breaking multi-trillion-dollar deal for Build Back Worser, as I call it. And now the media is attacking Joe Manchin. Listen to this quote. How Joe Manchin left a global tax deal in limbo. So right there, that's the media calling for the New World Order. Global tax deal. I don't pay taxes to the UN. I don't pay taxes to the World Health Organization or the WEF. And if they try to impose a tax on me, I will not pay. So I found that interesting that was there. Anyway, here's what I got. Got a phone call from my best military source, and we have evolved into a very good friendship over decades now. And he was formerly in a position in two different areas to become an expert and have expert contacts. And I had a, there's multiple ways to approach this, but I'll just go one theater at a time. Germany, I predicted in 2014 in an article that because of their vulnerability with home heating oil to Russia, they would one day leave NATO. I was told today that will never happen, but my inclination about Germany being a less than enthusiastic member of this alliance is right on the money. This German economist said, I'm echoing what all my colleagues are saying, that Germany cannot survive the winter without hundreds of thousands of people dying, maybe even millions, starvation, as well as extreme cold and hypothermia. He said the vulnerable are obviously the elderly and people with chronic conditions, as we always see with situations like this. But he said Germany will not be leaving NATO, but they're not really a willing participant in what's going on. And they may want, and this is one thing I didn't tell you, because the conversation was long enough. He said Germany may actually favor starting a nuclear war with Russia just to get everything over with, because they know the German government's in trouble, big, big trouble. The people do not support them. And so they're talking about lockdowns. They're imposing mask requirements. They have hot water rationing right now. And this is current right now, folks. This isn't what's coming. That's current. And so this German economist, who is a friend of my military source, he said quite clearly that the end is near for Europe. And he said, I don't know how this is going to end, but it's not going to end well. You've got also two developments out of Ukraine. The U.S. embassy has been evacuated, and it conspicuously, for a long period of time since I found out about it, the mainstream media was totally silent. How does Dave Hodges scoop the mainstream media where they have reporters in every theater of action? It's just amazing. So it's they're complicit in a cover-up. And what they're doing now with this embassy in Ukraine is they are trying to chemical and biological proof it. They're doing all kinds of... I'm not an expert on this, so I'll use layman's terms as I understand it. They're doing kind of like what you do with weatherproof your home for the winter. They're weatherproofing the embassy for chemical and biological attacks. And clearly they expect that's what's going on. In my discussion with my military source, I speculated that, you know, the new weapons the U.S. has sent, they have been successful in blowing up Russian ammunition depots, knocking tanks out, taking out key structures like bridges needed to cross to secure a target. And it's really slowed the Russian advance in certain areas. And one of the foreign ministers of Russia visited the front. and he declared we're now going for all out war, and that actually was reported in the media in Europe. And the thinking is they're going to step it up to chemical and biological because their weapons have been so decimated. Now, they don't let the Russian media cover the war because they don't want the body bag story going home with the casualty numbers to the Russian people, because when they did that with Afghanistan, that forced the Russian pull out. So they're trying to conceal the damage. They know that they're on a tight timetable, and Russia's probably looking to move to the chemical biological option. If they do that, you very well could see NATO respond with nuclear weapons, at least tactical nukes, you know, local theater nukes, maybe not the big ICBMs, the Intercontinentals, but then again, we're on an escalation model, so who knows where it'll end. Domestically, and I'm going to defer to you on some of this, Doug, because I know you went and you had time to do more research that I didn't. There's a bill that has been introduced in Congress that really matches a lot of what we see in Europe, because what's happening in Europe will eventually come here. And there's a martial law bill that was introduced late this afternoon. Alex Jones was the first person that I believe that published this today, and I want to give credit where credit's due. And the bill, I believe it's H.R. 4350, if memory serves me correctly, and it is martial law, which gives Biden total control over the military, bypassing Congress. He has no oversight or no restrictions on his power. Have you been able to learn anything more about this martial law bill?
No, not yet. I really want to dig into this because, you know, it's what, 3,000 plus pages.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, there's just not enough time, even skimming through it. But, you know, I think all these things are coming at a very peculiar time. You know, who couldn't have saw this coming, though? That's the monkey that's in the accordion box right now. Who didn't know that this was going to happen? You know, there shouldn't be one politician out there on the right who said, "Man, I'm so surprised that all this weird stuff is happening right now." You know, I think everything going on with Ukraine, I find it strange. I find it strange because, all in all, Ukraine really doesn't give America very much, except for it's the playground for the elite. It's where they, you know, it's where they have a lot of their nonsense with their you know, their child pornography and human sex trafficking. There's a lot of stuff that goes on there, but you know, this is so much more when you start talking about how Germany wants to just go ahead and, you know, get the nuclear war started so we can just, you know, move on. You know, that's that doesn't work out for anybody. And I'm sure somebody has the understanding of that.
Yeah,
but with this new bill, you know, it's H.R. 4350. The reporting number is 117 to 118. That's out of the 117th Congress. And it's to authorize appropriations for fiscal year 2022 for military activities of the Department of Defense and for military construction to prescribe military personnel strengths for such fiscal year and other purposes. Very usual nomenclature. Not anything too apparent just yet. But it as everything else, the programs that it'll get into becomes more nefarious, and, you know, it will outline a lot of the acquisition for logistics and studies and reports that'll be needed. But you know, I'm already on just page, let me see, 31 here. Hold on,
you're 1,000th of the way through, Doug. Congratulations.
Oh my God! Yeah, I'm on page. Let me see. Page 27. You're still looking at just the sections of what's going to be in this report. So at page 28, you'll get to the first actual meat of the report. Division A, Department of Defense authorizations, Title I procurement. Funds are hereby authorized to be appropriated for fiscal year 2022 for procurement of the Army, the Navy, and the Marine Corps, the Air Force.
Doug, did I lose you? Uh-oh. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we cut out there, and I'm not sure what that'll do to the length of the recording, but we'll deal with it. How
Maybe
interesting
we'll
our
try it.
communication got interrupted at that very point. When you started describing one of the sections, I lost contact with you. So let's go ahead and go back to that if you want to repeat that again for us.
Well, it's just starting with page 28, you're going to get into the nomenclature of everything, but I want you to listen to something I found very interesting on page 30. Responsible official, the Secretary of the Army shall designate the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Acquisitions, Logistics, and Technology as the official in the Department of the Army with principal responsibility for the management of the Soldier Enhancement Program. The duties of the Soldier Enhancement Program shall include the identification, research, development, test, and evaluation of commercially available off-the-shelf items as defined in Section 104 of Title 41 United States Code, and software applications to accelerate the efforts of the U.S. Army to integrate, modernize, and enhance weapons and equipment for use by Army soldiers, including lighter, more lethal weapons. Support equipment, including lighter and more comfortable load-bearing equipment, field gear, combat clothing, survivability items. Wow. Communications equipment, navigational aids, night vision devices.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we had a little glitch there, but we seem to have stabilized and we're okay. And Doug was going through some preliminary thoughts on that HR bill introduced by the Democrats to install martial law with military enforcement. And Doug listed some things here when we hit that little glitch. And Doug, let me finish your thought, knowing that we're going to come back and cover this later when we've had a chance to study it more, because it is 33,000 pages long. So, what's your initial takeaway when you look at this? What feeling are you left with?
Well, so you can go to InfoWars and you can actually download the entire thing. It's actually 1,362 pages.
Gosh.
I'm probably going to end up, just one day at Kinko's, right? I'm probably going to end up printing this entire thing and breaking it down piece by piece because there's plenty of little Easter eggs in here. But before we had a little glitch. But I was reading, it sounded almost like if the Army was investing in the development of exoskeletons. Obviously, within this bill, there's the need for revamping payments and adding funding to the Navy for new naval destroyers, which, hey, you know what? Thank God we're finally updating our Navy. They have, a bunch of stuff in there for the Marine Corps, for the Air Force, for the Army, and for Space Force. And this is just, I would say a lot of it so far, and I'm up to like page 55, a lot of it so far is just regurgitated garbage that the military does, that the government does when it comes to funding. But already, when we're talking about major weapon systems and strategic risk and wanting to develop new technologies. In a lot of ways, I say good. About time. It's about time we did that. We need to catch up to the rest of the world, and we need to take advantage of the technologies we have in beefing up our military. However, what we know that's in this bill is the elements of martial law. And because I haven't got to read into there yet, and I don't want to skip around. And trust me, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to download this, don't skip around. Start from one and end at 1,362. Learn everything about it because you're going to find things in here you're not going to like. But I think once I take an entire analysis of this, we're probably not going to be too happy with this bill because you and I both know They hide stuff in these.
Exactly.
Trailers,
right? Good point. Great point.
They always hide stuff in here.
Yeah, you're right on the money with that. In fact, when you first started talking about your reaction, my first thought was, well, it'll be like Obamacare. You know, most of it's so mundane and boring you want to go to sleep when you're reading it. But if you persist, you're going to find some stuff or you're going to have a holy crap moment. So I totally agree with what you're saying.
Well, I have a way to break this down for people if they're interested, Dave. If you're interested in breaking this down, this is how you do it. All right, now, once again, this is you know, pretty mundane for the most part. And you can do this even, like, you know, with your Bible study group. Print this thing off. Give everybody five pages, all right? Skim through the five pages. Highlight whatever it is that seems important. Write down the page number. Set it off to the side. And then revisit it. All right, and everything else is trash. Just chunk it to the side. But if you start seeing key words sticking out, national defense, you know, strategic risk, advancements in technology, advancements in war fighting, martial law, anything that has to do with detention or anything that has to do with pharmaceuticals or any type of custody between federal agencies, highlight all that stuff, set it to the side, and come and revisit it. But it just, you know, take five more pieces of paper and break it down again. That's how we're going to get through this. You know, we can't speed read our way through this.
Yeah, I was an old-time speed reader, and I looked at some of it in the beginning, but there are some things you can't speed read, and this is one I would say, for the most part, you can't. But the thing is, it's almost like they really have command of learning psychology, because you're reading it, and it's kind of like you're driving through a countryside with no mountains, no trees, no nothing, and you're just bored to death. And so you overlook anything that's there, and that's how they treat this. It's so mundane, and what I read, and I just think, oh my gosh, but you know, if it's martial law, there's going to be tidbits.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be tidbits about it, and I totally agree. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, there you got Doug's suggestion on that, and we're going to do future shows as this becomes more apparent, and we want to emphasize to you, too, this is only a bill. It is not yet passed, but I will tell you, my feeling is, if the circumstances don't change with regard to election, look for this to be codified.
Because listen to this, Dave. I don't mean to interrupt you, but as you're talking, I'm reading. Modification of mechanisms for expedited access to technical talent and expertise at academic institutions to support Department of Defense missions. That's page 59, section 212. And in it, they talk about department-wide shared information across the government for shared information systems, including the Defense Technical Information Centers, redesignating these paragraphs and inserting nuclear science, security, and nonproliferation, chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear defense, striking 2026 and inserting 2028. So if you ever see striking and inserting, that's correcting dates or correcting words. But they're putting 2028 for this. And, you know, not to start throwing all of our eggs in one basket, but what happens 2028? An election.
But I don't think it's 2028. I think it's a date that's put out there to make you relax and think you have time. They can change the date in committee.
Oh, this is true. Just don't forget, though, 2030 is a real thing. Something will happen in and around 2030.
Agree.
We know it to be true.
I couldn't agree with you more. You're exactly right on the money. Man, oh man, oh man. Interesting. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we will continue with that. But we have further breaking news. Mm-hmm. And Doug and I talked about this pre-air discussion, and we thought, okay, do we want to bring this out now? Yeah, but this is also one of those things that's going to kind of leave us open-ended. But I think it's important to know. John Moore and I have actually had some of these conversations. I spoke to John here about a week ago. And we have talked about this many times in the past, as the late Paul Martin and I did. And it's the fact that, there are two military organizations that are really outside the control of the woke General Milley and the Pentagon. And those are the submarine fleet and that of the Space Force. And I happen to know someone who has experience with both. Now, I'm not going to say more than that. And I can tell you these are true statements. The submarine fleet, for example, when they're deployed tactically, they have different uniforms. They have a slightly different military code of justice. They're very, very independent. Very independent. And they resisted Obama's evisceration of the officer ranks when he was getting rid of 400 command officers who weren't woke enough for him. And they were too conservative, and the submarine fleet was basically spared. They couldn't penetrate, and they still have had a hard time penetrating. Occasionally, they'll do what they did in Benghazi. They'll send in a CIA operative, that's an officer, and they'll become like an exec, and then they'll turn in somebody, and they'll get them for military code of justice violations. That's what happened with Benghazi when General Hamm and the Navy Admiral of Carrier Task Force 3 were trying to rescue Chris Stevens at Benghazi, and they were stopped in their efforts. Well, the submarine fleet has a unique way of dealing with this, as I've been told. They will typically have 4 to 6 officers on a submarine, whether you're talking LA class or another one, and they'll meet in the boardroom on the beginning of a mission, and particularly if they have a new guy and they trust no one new. And so they'll go in there, let's say there's 4 of them, and they just say it right there. If you, any of you are a plant and you subvert the constitutional authority of the military operations and the government, and if you interfere in mission critical stuff, you put this ship at risk. You refuse a direct order, this will be your last mission. And that's often delivered as a thinly veiled death threat. And this is something I've known about for years and years and years and years. And I've discussed this with some people that have been in the fleet. And some of you who have been officers in submarines, the only way you wouldn't have been a participant in this is if your officer corps was stable and or a new person coming in was totally known with their background to command officers. So this is the way they maintain their independence. Some of them have, and this is a misnomer that's out there now. People will tell you, oh, Dave, the submarines can't fire independently. BS. That myth has been promulgated through misinformation from the Pentagon. The submarines have to retain tactical neutrality from Washington, D.C. to some degree, because what if D.C. is nuked and they're offline? What if Cheyenne Mountain is nuked and is offline? Then it comes down to the commander. And if he doesn't have operational authority to begin with, like 2 guys turn the key, for example, then that mission is doomed. So that myth that's going around to say that these submarine guys cannot fire independently is incorrect. Incorrect. Now, that's one aspect of a military that's independent, and this is actually leading somewhere. So let me go to the second aspect of the submarine issue, and then we're going to go to the Space Force. The Chinese, Russians, and Americans have deployed submarine readiness for war. They are, in fact, there's been some scant references in the mainstream media about sightings of Russian submarines in and around the United States in the coastal waters, and that has made some of the media. But that's only a small symptom of the issue. The Russians are deployed ready to fight. Now, the good news is we can track them a lot better than they can track us, even today. So catching an American submarine and attacking it is very, very difficult. It's like looking at a needle in a haystack. Catching a Russian submarine is much easier. The Chinese are archaic. They're still kind of living in the past, and they've tried to update stuff, but they have flaws in their mission designs, and stealth is not their best friend. But the Chinese have deployed, too, in the Asian theater, and I believe it's anticipation of U.S. interference from perhaps a Taiwan invasion. And the Japanese could be part of that issue as well, too. So the submarine fleets are gearing up for war. The concern of the 3 sources I've talked to on this, One was primary and two were support information. The concern that they have is that the American submarine fleet is not being deployed to the level that's required given the Russian and Chinese action. And so, in other words, Biden, as you would expect, is leaving us purposely vulnerable. But the saving grace is the independence of the submarine commanders. So that's one issue that's out there right now. The other issue is the Space Command. And this, the Space Force is nothing new. A lot of people think, oh, Trump created it. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. When my father was working with captured German scientists, reverse engineering advanced theoretical physics, trying to apply it to mostly airplanes, you know, liftoff craft, vertical liftoff craft that could escape Earth velocity, the Space Force was there. They had on design boards created what they thought were pretty foolproof technology that could do UFO type maneuvers, but this never made its way into NASA ever. So my dad concluded rightly there was a secret Space Force, which I know now, and many people know now, that there was. And all Trump did was he took the Space Force that was secret and made it public, and he did it for one reason: so he could get better funding and expand its mission in space and be able to counter the threats the Chinese were putting in space with killer satellites. And you may have remembered people about 6 months ago, the Space Force took out some killer satellites from China. And they would try to destroy our over-the-horizon radar capability, which offsets our numerical inferiority with land-based forces. So the Space Force operates largely... You can fire the commander of the Space Force, and that has happened under Biden, but you're not going to change the element. It's like if you bring in a stooge, he's not going to get the cooperation he needs in the Space Force. And the jobs are so highly technical, they're not easily replaceable. It's not like, gee, Colonel, I don't think you're fully on board with what I'm doing, so I'm going to replace you and you're going to be transferred out. It's not that easy because of the technical expertise and the compartmentalization that exists, that probably exists outside the knowledge of Biden to a large extent, and certainly any new commander they would bring in. And the Space Force is an equalizing force to protect the United States. They are not going to go woke. They are not going to invite China in. They're not going to allow that to happen without severe repercussions. And if you don't think we don't have nukes and powerful weapons in space, you're deluding yourself. We have had these kinds of weapons in space since the 60s. And with regard to the submarine fleet, the same thing is true. A lot of people think America is in a hopeless position militarily because of General Milley and the Pentagon, and they're so woke, and they're turning our soldiers into high-heeled skirts, wearing lipstick, going into battle. There's an element of truth in that, but I will tell you, the Space Force and the submarine fleet are powerful entities, and Russia does not want to have to deal with them. China, I don't think they care about their population. I don't think they care if they lose 500 million or 750 million people, but they care very much about losing their industrial might. They care about losing their ports. They care about losing like people areas like Beijing and Shanghai. And the Space Force is capable of doing that. They dropped in 2015 under Obama, they dropped the rods from God. And this was before the Space Force became public. But everybody knew where the weapons came from. Came from the secret Space Force. So what I've been told by these sources is that these guys are gearing up, and they're not going to capitulate to Biden surrendering to Russia or China. And that's what they fear. So, Doug, that's the story as I have it right now.
Well, I would say that both threats are equally just as damning and as concerning from Space Force or from the boomers below. I agree. I think to an extent the extracurricular military forces, which would be Space Force, don't forget the Space Force is highly infused with CIA. Highly infused. So between them and what's happening with our fleet of submarines, it just seems like we have a fracture within our military, I guess you would say. And, you know, I want to say that there is obviously a tidal wave of patriotism that's happening across the United States. More and more people are leaving this administration.
Yes.
I was just reading today, nasty rumor that's coming out from the Biden administration. They're eating their own, if you people didn't know that. They're literally eating their own. Is that Joe Biden is talking about getting rid of Kamala Harris before 2024 elections.
That would be really good. Well, first of all, Biden's not going to make it that far, given his vascular dementia. But secondly, that would be a stupid move. Eisenhower thought about doing that with Nixon, but he was going to do it in the convention and make up a reason. They're not going to fire Kamala Harris before they get to a convention. That's not going to happen. That's too divisive.
It may be too divisive, but, you know, we should probably all know to never say never with these people. You know, just look at all the crazy stuff that they're trying to put forth now.
I don't know, Dave.
Yeah, I hear you. But here's what we're looking at here. The Democrats are introducing a martial law designation. And I think they're camouflaging the intent with a date far in the future. You don't introduce a bill for implementation by 2028 when it's military. That's ridiculous. I mean, that story is not even believable. So to me, the date's a cover. There's intel floating around that's across my desk, as I just repeated. These agencies are gearing up for war, and they're also self-protective against Biden's treason. And let's make no mistake about it. Hunter Biden has done business with Chinese interests that mean us harm. And Joe Biden met with his son after these foreign visits in over 30 occasions. Biden is a traitor to the people of the United States.
Yep. Well, and please allow me to read what I sent you, what we were talking about earlier before we got on air. You know, the government is doing, and this is from a buddy of mine, okay? Buddy of mine, he's one of my proteges. He's now a supervisor. Great, great guy. Former Ranger. True American. Loves his country. Really does not like this government, but works for him, unfortunately. We were talking about what I'm about to speak about, and the first thing that he texted me back after I sent him this is that the United States government has declared a secret war on its civilians. And I agree, but I think that war is very close to going hot. I think that's what they want. I think they're planning for it. I think they know that if you continue to push these extremely unconstitutional acts, man, you're wanting civil war.
Yes, I agree.
What's a great way to do it? Well, here, let me stop beating around the bush. This is coming from Morgan County Sheriff's Office, Norman Dills, the sheriff, and this is in Versailles, Missouri. This is titled from July 19th, so yesterday. To the citizens of Morgan County, the Attorney General for the State of Missouri, Eric Schmidt, recently released a notice from the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, that they intend to do on-site audits of concealed carry permit records at each county sheriff's office. My office has received no notice or request for the inspection from the FBI. I want to ensure the citizens of Morgan County that I have no intention of complying with that request should it be received. Revised Missouri statute blah 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 prohibits the distribution of a concealed carry weapons records to any federal, state, or private entity. I intend to abide by the statute. Further, this office and the deputy sheriffs commissioned herein will continue to abide by the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the great state of Missouri and defend your rights. Well, Norman Dills, my hat's off to you, sir. Thank you, Sheriff, for actually being a good American.
Yeah.
Look at what happened vice versa in California. Every concealed carry permit holder in California twice had their data leaked. Twice. And it, I mean, you know, from who it was and where they live.
I know. I know. It's intent to put people at risk who could dare stand up to this government. And see, it comes down to a basic historical concept. Thomas Jefferson was quite clear when he wrote the Second Amendment in the Bill of Rights. He said, this is less about our enemies of France and Britain, and today that would be Russia and China. He said it's more about defending against the tyranny that comes along every generation. And he thought there needed to be a revolution every 20 years to purify the nation from a tyrannical takeover. That's why you have a Second Amendment.
Well, do you think he was wrong? Do you think he was overstating?
I think he's right on the money.
Yeah. I do too.
Go ahead.
I think we've let our government become... this is, and this is my historical outlook on this. For the search of ultimate liberty and capitalism, we decided to have a very large political and financial influence in this country, especially with the investment within our laws and our legislature, our executive government. And then eventually with the building of the military. When once we built the military, which was, you know, obviously against the Constitution as it stands, we're not going to have a standing military. But as we continue to progress, you had rich oligarchical men, J.P. Morgan, Chase, all those guys, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, so on and so forth. They seized power through the industrial complex, the military, the medical, the pharmaceutical, the prison. They established these industrial complexes and more or less turned themselves into robber barons or just barons in general. And they hold our country captive. And because of that, everything revolves around those people staying in power. This is my personal belief. That's your elites. That's your original family of elites. And then you start to have outside influence internationally and other political influences. And this is now the cards that we've been dealt. Leads us to this. We always had a free nation as long as you believed in the freedom that they said you needed to believe in. What they don't want you to do is they don't want you to go to 16th, 17th century America. They don't want you to know what true dangerous freedom, as Thomas Jefferson said, is. They don't want you to know what charging through the fields by yourself and building a log cabin out in the middle of nowhere and not paying taxes for it. Those days are done with, because everything you do has to bring back monetary investment to the federal government. We need to establish, eventually, reestablish laws that say that the federal government needs to be taken down to about one-tenth the size that it is now. The federal government should do nothing more than worry about one-tenth of what my life consists of. And I'm okay with paying taxes. You know, I'm okay with that. I'm not okay with being taxed to the extent that I can't afford anything. Like, you know, if everybody in America one time a year paid $100 for a tax for the entire year, flat rate tax, $100, we'd have a lot of money.
Yeah,
but
yeah, totally.
But does that money need to then be pimped out by Biden to freaking Iran in the tone of $1 trillion in the next 6 years? Or how about this? Soon we'll be reaching, I think it's close to $60 billion worth of aid to Ukraine, and we know now that plane that was flying from Ukraine to Greece was filled full of weapons that they were selling to other people. We don't even know if it was going to the Greeks or not. We just know that for whatever reason it blew up and it landed in Greece.
The word in the street was it's going to terrorist nations.
Of course it was. Of course it was. You don't know why? Because typical nations' militaries, unless it's secretive weapons, unless it's some sort of state secrets, these arsenals of weapons, they're going to buy them. They have the chance to buy them anyways. They don't need to have a freaking cargo plane with a bunch of, you know, yahoos in it, cowboying across the world just to go make a couple pounds of gold.
I have two words for you, Doug. Clinton Foundation.
Oh, absolutely. Let me tell you something. What was on that plane was not missiles. It was not Kalashnikovs. It was not 50 cals. It was not AK-47s. It wasn't, 40-millimeter grenades. They may have had some of that on there. What was on that plane was information. That's what was on that plane. That plane was carrying information. And this is just my speculation. That plane was shot down. It didn't just spontaneously combust in the middle of the sky. That plane was carrying...
Who shot it down is the question. I will tell you, too, it's suspected there were biologicals and chemicals on board, too.
Yes, that is the information. That is the intelligence that they were carrying. Doesn't have to be a lot, just a couple vials. Here's the files. Here's the floppy disk. Wow, I sound old. Do we use floppy disks still, Dave? I don't know. Look, here's the information for it. Here's a few vials. Give me my millions of dollars. See you later. Sayonara. And I bet you something hit that plane from either a drone or from something else. I don't think it was a directed energy beam, whatever, that hit. I don't think the turbines just, you know, spontaneously exploded. I think that plane got nailed down. And that's what happened. Because, and I'll say this, that was, if you watch the video, that was quite the fireball explosion for a plane that, you know, it was just a mechanical problem. They didn't try to land it.
No, it wasn't. It was a projectile impact. That's easy.
Yeah. But that's the excuse, is that they had a mechanical problem, and they landed it, nosedived into a field. You're not going to try and save yourself, Dave? Dave, if you were a pilot, all right? And let's just go ahead and say, if you were a pilot and you were good enough to fly from Ukraine to Greece, that you had to be a somewhat competent pilot, and your engine went out, would you not be maydaying yourself all the way down? Would you not try and find an airstrip to land on, a soft patch of something to land on? Would you nosedive straight into a field?
No, of course not. No. But I'll say this, and then there's two stories I want to bring up before we close. The people I've talked to about this, they say their number one suspect in this is NATO nations that thought Biden was betraying their mission, and that's why they shot it down. That's one. The other thing I've heard is resistance within the American military in or around the Mediterranean or Middle East. And on their own say-so, they brought it down with a drone that may not be traceable back to them. Those are the two stories that I have been told that are the operating theories right now, but we don't know. I want to jump to another story here, Doug. Two stories real quickly in the time we have left. You can hear the voice is starting to go. It's been one of those days. This is from CNN. CNN, the Communist News Network. Americans question Joe Biden's priorities in a new CNN poll released on Monday that highlighted widespread displeasure with the direction the country is heading. The latest CNN poll showed 68% of U.S. adults believe Biden's priorities are wrong, and that the president hasn't paid enough attention to critical issues facing Americans. And then they get real specific. They ask about things like inflation and the gas, and that number jumps to 78%. And when they detail these issues, this is why these people have to do an October surprise. They can't win an election. They're alienating their own. They have to do an October surprise, either a pandemic to lock us down, so they can vote by mail and they can manipulate the way they did in 2020, or they're going to start a world war, or a deadly lethal pandemic that this time isn't Corona. It's like Ebola, okay, just for sake of argument. But we're not going to have an election, not if they can help it. That's one. And the other issue I wanted to bring up, and this is from the Associated Press, and I think the rats are jumping off the ship, Doug. This is from the Associated Press. You know, you can go along with communism so far until you're the victim of the communists. Listen to this title from the UAP. Ukraine graft, in other words, Ukraine corruption, concerns resurface as Russia war goes on. Now, if the AP were really on board with the Biden administration, they would bury this story, because they don't want anything undermining the currency leak we have going into Ukraine right now. And they go on, and this article is damning. And this is out of the Associated Press, published 1 hour ago. So this just happened. So, Doug, here we go. Here we go. The liberals are jumping off their own ship because they're not willing to go down with a ship that they've helped support.
Well, I mean, our ratings... more important than loyalty at this point.
Rattlesnakes don't commit suicide, and I would say that that's what these people are all about right now. They're saving their own skin. They can see they don't have a seat at the table, so why should they stay on board?
Yeah. Well, I mean, who fooled them though? You know, who told them, do everything that we said, we got your back?
Six entities own 98% of the media. That's who told them. And these people are rebelling. Look at CNN is being taken apart piece by piece. And it's interesting that CNN would report the story they did. You would never have seen that a year ago. And now the AP, this is damning. So they can see they're rebelling against their multi-billion-dollar owners. They're basically saying, yep, screw you. We're not on board with you anymore. We're not going to play your games anymore. And this is, to me, a turn in the mainstream media. That tells me the deep state's running out of time. There is an urgency issue, and this is why when Jeff Nyquist says August 1st could be a real issue, and I'm interviewing Jeff in a couple of days, August 1st could be an issue with China or Russia or whoever. I think Jeff might be onto something given this kind of behavior. This is really scary.
The rumor has been coming out that supposedly China may try and hit her grid in August.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah, and that would be the easiest target. As you've said many times, that's our glass jaw. We're going to hold it here because, Doug, we've got a minute left, and I wanted you to have an opportunity to tell people how they can listen to your independent shows that are rising like crazy.
Well, so far, American Vindictive Show is doing pretty good. We're on GS Radio from 6 to 7 p.m. Please listen to the archives. If you go to look on the archives and you don't know what the titles for any of the podcasts were, go to my website, AmericanVindictiveShow.com, and you'll see albums from like episode 1 to I think like episode 60 or whatever. Please check out the Nazi series and the American Revolution series. I put a tremendous amount of work into that. Other than that, man, we're on KYH, we're on Rumble, we're on YouTube, and now Heroes Nation. So thank you to all the sponsors out there who help me and Dave get our information out there. And please help with Dave and sign up for thecommonsenseshow.tv. You're missing out if you're not watching it. It's $3 a month, guys. Come on, you're missing out.
It's less than $3 a month, but I appreciate you saying that. But Doug and Dave Intel Report appear there all the time, and that's where we do our heavy lifting. We've really assembled a panel of experts that are trying to help America have a safer landing. Because the truth is, folks, what's coming is no longer coming. It's already here. When you got martial law bills sitting in Congress, and you have these mainstream media deserters from the Democratic agenda, the poop is ready to hit the fan. And when it hits the fan, I'm saying watch out. Katie, bar the door. because we could be in a full-fledged civil war with the UN on our soil. We should do a show on that sometime, but we can't talk about it right now because we're out of time. So this is the Doug and Dave Intel Report. We are signing off. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be back for more later time. God bless.